Good morning, everyone. Great to see you all here today. Let us come to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day that we can come and focus our attention on your Son, the Lord Jesus, and on the cross that he went to for us. Father, as we look at the scriptures this morning, we pray that you may help us to understand, that we might live our lives more for Jesus. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Good Friday is the day that we traditionally focus on the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. It's a day that we come especially to bring our praise and thanks for our precious Saviour for his life-giving sacrifice. A day that we come to be encouraged to persevere in our faith in Jesus as we follow him. And a day to be challenged and motivated to live more for Jesus in our everyday behaviour. This morning we're going to spend some time thinking about our reading from the book of Hebrews, which Neil's just read for us, which presents Jesus as our great high priest. Now, Jesus' priesthood is like the priesthood of the people of Israel in the Old Testament. So unlike those people which we call priests today, like Jim or Neil, the purpose and role of Jesus' priestly ministry is to represent God's people before God, to represent us before God, to pray and intercede for God's people, and to offer sacrifices on behalf of God's people to deal with the sins of the people before God, to be the one that stands between people and God. We see this in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 5. It says, "Every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins." But the Lord Jesus Christ is no ordinary priest, like the thousands of priests from the Old Testament people of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ is not even just like the many high priests of Israel. For our passage in Hebrews declares that the Lord Jesus Christ is a great high priest. So what is so great about Jesus' high priestly ministry? What separates Jesus out and makes him stand out in contrast to all the previous priests of Israel? Well, from our reading in Hebrews today, there are two reasons why Jesus' high priesthood is greater than all the other high priests of Israel. But first, before we look at those two reasons, it's important to understand that Jesus satisfies two essential qualifications that all high priests of Israel had to satisfy. Our passage in Hebrews sets out two qualifications for high priests in Israel in verses 1 to 7 of chapter 5. And the first qualification that the writer of Hebrews presents that was required of all high priests of Israel is that they were called by God. They were chosen and called by God. Being a high priest in Israel wasn't an honour that people decided to take upon themselves. They had to be summoned by God to exercise the ministry of high priest, just as Moses' brother Aaron was at the beginning of the people of Israel when the priesthood was first set up. Jesus fulfills this qualification, for he was called by God just like all of Israel's high priests. The writer of Hebrews declares that Jesus was called by God to be a high priest for God's people in verses 5 and 6 of chapter 5. The writer of Hebrews quotes some verses from the Psalms to show that Jesus was called to be a high priest. Let me read those verses. It says there in verse 5 and 6, "In the same way Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father.'" And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." The quote in verse 5 from the seventh verse of Psalm 2 is evidence that God appointed Jesus as the messianic king of Israel, as his son, the Messiah of Israel. But verse 6 is a quote from Psalm 110, verse 4, where God declares that Jesus is a high priest forever. Jesus wasn't a high priest in the priestly order of Aaron, but in the order of the mysterious figure of Melchizedek from Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. Now you can go read that verse later, but Melchizedek was the king of Salem and priest of God Most High. The city of Salem became the city of Jerusalem when Jesus' ancestor King David conquered it, making King David the king of Jerusalem and the priest of God Most High. As King David's descendant, Jesus became the king of Jerusalem and the priest of God Most High. So Jesus is a high priest called by God in the order of Melchizedek. And according to Psalm 110, verse 4, his priestly ministry is permanent. Jesus will represent his people before God forever. As we trust in Jesus to represent us before God, to be the one who stands between us and God, we can have confidence that he will never fail to represent us and be our advocate with God the Father. He will continue to speak on our behalf, and as he does so, he'll always do it with sympathy and compassion for his people, as that is the second qualification for all high priests in Israel, which Jesus also satisfies completely. So according to the writer of Hebrews then, the second qualification for Israel's high priest is the ability to have sympathy and compassion on God's people, to deal with the people of God with mercy and gentleness as they struggle with the burden of sin and temptation. We see this in verse 2 of chapter 5, where the shared humanity and weakness of the high priest enables him to have sympathy and compassion on the people he represents before God, because he understands from personal experience the difficulty of facing the temptation of sin. Verse 2 says, speaking of the priests in Israel, he is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. Just as the high priests of the Old Testament were able to have mercy and compassion on God's people because they were human too, with human weakness, so the Lord Jesus Christ has sympathy and compassion on all his followers because he too shares fully in our humanity and knows the weakness that we struggle with when we are tempted by sin. We see this first in chapter 4, verse 35. It says, "For we do not have a high priest, that is Jesus, who is unable to empathize with our weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." The Lord Jesus Christ has fully endured and suffered all the temptations and trials that all humans face. The only difference is that he did not give in to sin. Jesus did not disobey his heavenly Father or lose faith in God. But this difference does not mean that it was somehow easier for Jesus to trust and obey God when he was faced with trials and temptation. We see again in chapter 5, verse 7, that Jesus shared the weakness of our human nature and fully felt the agony and pain of the desire to satisfy his selfish desires, his self-preservation, when it describes Jesus suffering as he faced temptation with fervent cries and tears. Verse 7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. This verse is most probably talking about the agonizing temptation Jesus faced at Gethsemane to turn away from his heavenly Father's will of dying on the cross on the very night before the day he gave his life on the cross. So devastating was the temptation Jesus faced to avoid the horror of the cross and of being the sacrifice for all human sin that he cried out to God in his soul, as his soul felt so overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground, so full of anxiety and horror. It's tempting to think that Jesus didn't really know what it was like to face temptation to sin, because he never gave in and sinned against God. But the opposite is true. Jesus faced the full force of the trials and temptation to sin because he faced them to the very end and didn't give up before the temptation had reached its maximum intensity, like we do so often. It's also tempting to think that Jesus used his power of divine nature to resist the temptation to sin. But when Jesus was faced with the temptation to sin, he resisted it in the strength of his human nature alone. He did not call on God or his divine power to overcome the temptations he faced in his earthly life, including the 40 days of testing in the wilderness, or on the night of Gethsemane, or on the day of his crucifixion. Not only did Jesus know intimately the suffering of the temptation to put himself first and disobey God, he also knew the pain and trial of not receiving the answer he wanted for his earnest prayers. For at Gethsemane, on the night before his death on the cross, he asked for God to find another way to deal with human sin. But knowing it was God's will, he humbly submitted to God's will and gave his life for human sin. He accepted God's no with submission and humility. So Jesus knows all the suffering, trials, and temptations we face in life, and is therefore able to have more than enough genuine mercy and compassion on his people in their weakness. He's able to be a fully sympathetic high priest as he represents his people, as he represents us before God. Like all the high priests, Jesus fulfills the qualifications of being called, of being chosen by God, and of being sympathetic and compassionate with his people. And so he's able to deal with us gently. But Jesus is described as the great high priest. The great high priest. What makes Jesus greater than the high priest of the people of Israel in the Old Testament? What makes Jesus' high priestly ministry stand out from all the other high priests that went before him? Well, first in verse 14 of chapter 4, we see that Jesus has been exalted to the highest position in the universe. It says in verse 4, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess." The Lord Jesus Christ sits at the right hand side of God the Father in heaven, where he intercedes on his people's behalf before God the Father, where he represents us. He's been given the greatest power and authority in the universe, which assures us he is able to fully represent his people to God the Father and fulfill the promises to his people to bring their salvation to completion. Unlike all the other high priests who ministered in an earthly temple in Israel to provide a token forgiveness for sin, the Lord Jesus Christ has ascended to the very presence of God, thus guaranteeing full and permanent forgiveness for his people. He's taken our humanity to the very presence of God. And this full and permanent forgiveness rests firmly on Jesus' unequaled high priestly sacrifice for his people. The most important fact that makes Jesus the great high priest is Jesus' is the sacrifice Jesus offered before God that enabled him to become the source of eternal salvation for his people. Jesus was not only our representative, he's not only our representative now, but he was our substitute on the cross, so our sins might be paid for in full, and real and permanent forgiveness could be given to God's people. The salvation Jesus made possible through his death on the cross is eternal. For everyone who obeys Jesus by placing their faith in him, by trusting him and following after him, their salvation will never be cancelled or withdrawn or reversed, for it is eternal. Through the suffering and agony of Jesus' complete and perfect obedience, as he submitted himself to death on the cross for the sin of humanity, he learned what obedience really is. He learned obedience by obeying fully, and he procured eternal salvation for everyone who responds with the obedience of faith. Verse 8 and 9 chapter 5 says, "Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him." The Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest, who sacrificed his life on the cross in our place, so we might be free from sin and death and be pardoned before God and be reconciled with God forever. So how can we respond to this great mercy and kindness of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, first, we can commit ourselves afresh to persevere in our faith in Jesus and our decision to unrelenting obedience to Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, every day. We can keep on believing in Jesus and keep on living for him as we follow him each day. Verse 14, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess." As we seek to do this every day, as we seek to hold firmly to the faith we profess, we can have the assurance that when we are tempted to reject the way we know God wants us to live, he will give us strength and encouragement to reject sin and keep on obeying him. But in those times when we have trouble saying no to sin and fail to obey our Lord Jesus, we can know that he is a sympathetic and gentle high priest who will continue to represent us at the throne of God in heaven and will help us to turn back to him, turn back to follow him again on the basis of his substitutionary death on the cross for us. Verse 16, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Jesus is our chosen, called high priest. He is the one that has sympathy and compassion on us in our weakest moments as we seek to follow him. He's the one that has died in our place as our substitute, and then he has ascended to the very side of God to represent us, so that our salvation is complete and full. So let us all this morning remember that in the trials and temptations of life, the way is always open to God through our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his perfect sacrifice on the cross for us. Amen.